Let us remain standing, and will you join me in the call to worship? Among the poor, among the proud, among the persecuted, among the privileged.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
In the private house, in the public place, in the wedding feast, in the judgment hall.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
With a gentle touch, with an angry word, with a clear conscience, with a burning love.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe, that the powerful might stumble, that the hidden might be seen.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
Within us, without us, behind us, before us, in this place, in every place, for this time, for all time.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
This is a poem I wrote about peace for today. What is peace? Peace is like the ocean when it's calm. Peace is a sigh of relief, knowing that there is good behind all of the world's evil. Peace is what people want instead of war. Peace is that feeling when you know that everything is okay and will be with time. Peace is the sound of the birds chirping in the morning. Peace is the sun setting and the moon coming out to say, "Hello, neighbor." Peace has more than one meaning, and people interpret it in different ways. So as the sun and moon do, say, "Hello, neighbor," we offer you to get up, walk around with your brothers and sisters, and pass the peace, because peace is a wonderful feeling that is meant to be shared.
I'd like to invite you all to please be seated. Thank you. It is my pleasure to welcome you here today for the installation of Reverend Brent Damrow as pastor of the First Congregational Church of Stockbridge United Church of Christ. My name is Deb McMenemy, and I served as the chair of the search committee that brought Brent to our church, where we have called him to serve as our minister. In this church, we have always considered ourselves to be warm and welcoming, but Brent has introduced us to the concept of the extravagant welcome. He insists that each and every one of us is wanted, valued, and welcomed here, and he is, of course, right. I'll do my best to convey his spirit here. First, let me welcome all of the church family and friends. This is a big day for us. I would like to welcome all the honored clergy members from the UCC conference and beyond. Thank you to all, and especially to those who are participating in the service. I know it means a lot to Brent and John. I'd like to invite our community leaders here today that I see. I see Jane Fitzpatrick is here. I would like to invite welcome the Executive Director of the Chamber of Commerce, Barb Zanetti, the Town Administrator, Georgia Marsden. I'd like to invite my esteemed colleagues on the Select Board, Steve Schatz and Chuck Gillette. And I welcome all of you, to this historic community, to this historic church, and to this historic event. In the past 30 years, this is only the third installation of a new minister in our church. Installation of a new minister is the final step in the search process, and this is indeed a joyous day in our church community. I'd like to talk a little bit about how we were blessed to find Brent on this search and call process. Our search committee began work two years ago, and we all agreed that the search would follow the conference, the United Church of Christ Conference guidelines, and the Reverend Jill Graham was our guide through this very, very detailed process. Our first job was to complete our church profile, and here is where we had to document and clearly state who we are as a church, our past, our present, and our hopes for the future. This was a long process that involved meetings with our committee, meetings with the congregation, and it gave us the guide to lead us to where we would find the minister that we wanted. Once the profile was completed, we sent it to the UCC for distribution, and we had no idea what kind of response we would get, but we were overwhelmed. We had over 50 applications, 50 ministerial profiles. Now, these documents are 25 pages thick, they're very detailed, and they take a long time to go through. So one of the first things that we did is thought we would set up some criteria to determine that, to screen the candidates, and one of the specifications we decided was that our new pastor should have at least 4 years of experience as an ordained minister. Now, this could have been our undoing, but unfortunately that was not the case. During this whole time, Jill Graham and I spoke regularly. Often it was me complaining to her about how much work there was and how much time it took and how I'm never gonna get it done. And then she would say to me, be patient, keep going, and delegate. But when we were talking about this experience minimum requirement that the committee had established, she said, might you reconsider that? I have somebody in mind who is very promising, and it might be a good fit for your church. So we decided we would reconsider that. And of course, the candidate she was thinking of was Brent, but we didn't know that. So before we got to that decision with Brent, we interviewed 5 people via Skype, with people from across the country we interviewed, and then we narrowed it down to 2 finalists that we brought to Stockbridge so that we could show them our facility and ask more questions. Then we made visits to watch them perform a sermon in a church setting, and then we invited the 2 finalists back and interviewed them again with their spouses before we made our decision. We made a decision that we couldn't be more pleased with. During this process, we had determined we wanted a minister that would be a person of faith who is a great preacher and who leads an effective worship service. We wanted a compassionate and caring person who will make calls on people who can't get out. We wanted an extrovert with a lot of energy and new ideas. We wanted somebody who would become a recognizable face in the community. We wanted a leader who will bring new members to this church and help our church grow. In the time that Brent has been here, which was January 1st he started, he has shown all of those qualities and more. Our Sunday church attendance has grown to about 100 people each Sunday. That's just a regular Sunday. It's fabulous. We had 10 new members join the church last month, and more are talking about doing it. We had 40 children in church on Easter Sunday. 40 children, that's a lot. I didn't even think there were that many in Berkshire County. They were here. And if we want somebody in the community, every Wednesday you'll find Brent downtown Stockbridge at a local restaurant, having lunch, making himself available to meet with people who want to talk, stop in, say hello, and just to get to know people in the community. And he has even volunteered to be our Memorial Day chaplain for our Memorial Day events that will be taking place in 2 weeks next door at the town hall on our parade. As I said, we couldn't be more pleased. I have one more welcome that I would like to extend. Somebody said to me today, don't you feel like the proud mom that we've got, Brent? Well, I have to mention the parents. We're so pleased. We have John's parents, Lynn and Walter Gelded, are here from Otis. We have Brent's parents and his step-parents. Lois and Jerry Hafner are here, Jean and Roger Damrow. Thank you, parents. Thank you all for doing such a good job with your boys. We're so grateful. We are proud to welcome them into our Stockbridge community and our community of faith here at the First Congregational Church.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. We give you thanks on this day for the ways that you have faithfully watched over and guided this church. We give you thanks for the way your Spirit has served as compass and guide for those who have come before us. We give you thanks for ministries of beauty, justice, and grace. We give you thanks for your calling on our lives, that we might be a people that loves you with our whole heart and loves our neighbors as ourselves. We give you thanks for the presence of your Spirit here among us today, for those who call this church home, and for leaders who have picked up the mantle in our ancestors' time and today. We ask your continued blessing on us as we embark on our own ministries of this time and place. God, in the midst of our thanksgiving, we also lift up the truth that this church and we, its people, have not always lived into our calling. We have not always loved you with all we are. We call ourselves a community, Lord, but we know we have not always acted like one. We have not always remembered our neighbors here in Stockbridge or around the world. For that, we humbly ask your forgiveness. We also come to you today, God, with our own burdens and brokenness. We lay them before you in the silence of our hearts, that you might take them from us and bathe us in your grace. God, hear us, know us, as we pray now in the silence of our hearts. Friends, hear the words of our brother, Paul the Apostle. Law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So hear this good news. God hears the words of our penitent hearts and forgives us our trespasses. And, as is often said by our beloved new pastor, let the whole church say, Amen. Please rise as you are able for the sung response to this prayer.
Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, greetings, grace, and peace to the First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ of Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Greetings, grace, and peace to the clergy and the churches represented here of the Berkshire Association. Greetings, grace, and peace to our Associate Conference Minister, Jill Graham, to the new pastor of this church, the Reverend Brent Damro. Greetings on this festive occasion. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, come near now, so near as to oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. The story of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes concludes with this piece of information. It says, and those who ate were about 5,000 men. 5,000 men, to say nothing of the women and children. So I have to wonder, I have to ask, who was doing the counting? At Old South Church in Boston, a deacon is assigned to count Sunday attendance. You might think that that was an easy task, but I've heard from our deacons that it's actually harder than you think. And I'm guessing that in every church, the Sunday count is a little tricky. People get up, they move. How do you count the children or the teachers? Do you count the choir twice? Do you count all the staff? But it's important to count, right? We need to know who's there, who's coming, who to expect. We want to know how many bulletins to make, how much juice, how many cookies. How many crayons and name tags are we going to need? How many choir robes and candles and wee pieces of bread will we need? How many sandwiches and how many seatings?
But I have to wonder who was counting on the day Jesus produced this miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Matthew tells us that somebody was counting. We know there was a counter. They were counting loaves and fishes. They started with a count of 5 and 2, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they ended up with 12 baskets full. And someone was counting the people. At least someone was counting some of the people. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, to say nothing of the women and children. Whoever counted only counted the men. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, to say nothing of the women and children. And even as he says nothing of the women and the children, we know that women were there. And we know that women have been drawn to Jesus in great numbers from the very, very beginning, often greater numbers than men. And one theory about this story proposes that there were probably twice as many women at this gathering as men, and that each woman was accompanied by an average of 2 children. If this theory is right, we know why they weren't counted. If there were 5,000 men, there were 30,000 women and children. And then there's this. What mother do you know who leaves the house with her children without packing meals? Juice boxes, animal crackers, yogurt, Cheerios, and string cheese. No wonder there were 12 baskets of leftovers. So, good people of First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, I want to ask today, what's in your basket and how do you count? What do you offer to the Christian story of abundance and multiplication? Here's what a sister from Boston humbly sees in your basket. The first item I see in your basket goes a long, long way in Massachusetts. In fact, it's a trump card in Massachusetts. You have age, length of years. Now, these wouldn't be worth a dime in California, but here in Massachusetts, this is gold. You have history, sisters and brothers. You have history. You have John Sargent and John Edwards, if I may call him that. You have first in your name. You have 1734 in your basket. You precede this town of Stockbridge by 3 years. Sisters and brothers, you have pedigree. Another item in your basket, these buildings and this location. May I just say that once again? These buildings and this location. Oh my gosh, what many people wouldn't give up for these buildings at this location. You have the best location in Western Massachusetts. There may be a few who would argue with me, but I think you have one of the best locations. This place is a place of sanctuary and of refuge, a house of prayer and a house of God. This place provides a center for your worship lives and a springboard for your ministries. And what's more, you give welcome here to self-help groups and 12-step programs. And because they are anonymous by definition, you may never know the stories. But I know this, that 12-step programs and self-help programs, they literally, literally save people's lives. Amen? Amen? You are saving people's lives, and you may never, ever know the story. So thank you for hosting these tender, life-saving ministries. And you have Christian formation in your basket, godly play and Bible study and ways of the Spirit, and like John Sargent and John Edwards, in days gone by, you have a Yale-educated pastor in your basket. You have Christian formation in your basket, and don't hide it there. Don't keep it there. Let it out. You have a prayer shawl ministry in your basket and the sending of a mission team to New Orleans, and you have the Service League. You have aid to homeless families and disaster relief, support of women fleeing domestic violence. You have a lot in your basket. You have music in your basket. Amen? The Johnson organ and bells and voices and music on Main, a mighty, melodic, mellifluous ministry of music you have in your basket. God bless you. And the thing about music making, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the thing about music making, it makes you hungry, right? But that's okay, because you have what in your basket? Yeah, you have food in your basket. Open Table, the People's Pantry, a new cookbook, a congregation with food and cooks and a pantry is a congregation capable of producing all kinds of miracles. Amen? And I wonder if you know this, that you have us in your basket. You have us in your basket. Fellow clergy, fellow sister congregations, you have us in your basket. Your sister churches, UCC and Ecumenical, are supporting you and praying for you and cheering you on. You have us in your basket. Brent's clergy colleagues are also in your basket, and you may or may not know this about clergy, but we talk about our churches. We do. And Brent has told us about you. He's told us a lot about you. He can't stop talking about you. So good people of First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, like it or not, you have us in your basket. We are here for you. And what else is in your basket? Brent tells me that you are a kind people, and you are a people of faith. You have kindness, and you have faith in your basket. If you had nothing else at all, that would be enough. Amen? You have kindness and faith in your basket. God bless you. As of January 1st, you have Brent Roger Damrow in your basket, all right? Amen? Brent is full of faith, and he's full of hope, innovative, imaginative, very bright, very warm, kind. Moreover, Brent holds you in deep affection and deep respect. In calling Brent to this ministry, you are taking a risk on behalf of the future, on behalf of your faith, a risk that in the presence of Jesus, good things are multiplied, and there is more in our baskets than meets the eye. Am I right? There's something else in your basket, a kind of a bonus, a sort of a freebie, a windfall that comes with Brent. You may have noticed, I don't know if you may have noticed, you've got John in your basket.
Amen.
Members of the First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, we have come here today, we are surrounding you today to remind you that Christians count differently than the rest of the world. That Christians count differently, and that there is more to count on here than meets the eye. Do not fail to count the women and the children. Amen. Never fail to count kindness and faith. Amen. Do not fail to count our ancestors, your ancestors, and your land. Amen. Do not fail to count the story of friendship with American Indians. Amen. And that you are a people of missionary impulse. Amen. Do not fail to count a Yale education, amen? And do not fail to count a husband named John. And do not fail to count on us, all of us, amen? In a few minutes, we will engage in the formal act of installation. And I know that you guys know how to install things. You've installed things before, refrigerators and dishwashers and the like. But installing a pastor is quite a different matter altogether. It's not a matter of tinkering with a few tools to make something fit. We need more than a guy with a box of tools. This sort of installation requires the power and the presence of the living God, the God who sent Jesus to feed the hungry and who set the captives free, the God of full baskets and an empty tomb. And for this kind of installation, the kind to which we invite our God and for which we invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit, and from which we go out from this place to live out in the world as followers of Jesus. For this kind of installation, we will employ serious words, heavy words, words with power and import, words like exhortation, covenant, pronouncement, declaration, charge. So let us now move to the glad and serious business of this day, this installation to which we have come and to which we have invited no less than the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Jesus and the Marys, the God who makes so much from our little. May God be with us and bless us. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Dear God, this is a day for thanksgiving as we reaffirm our welcome of Brent and John into this community of faith, and as we formally install Brent as our pastor. Our hearts are full. We give thanks for this church and for all those throughout history since 1734, the famous and the quietly faithful, whose service and sacrifice have sustained this church in Stockbridge. We give thanks for every person, family, friends, teachers, and fellow travelers who have nurtured, challenged, mentored, and inspired Brent in his faith journey. We give thanks for everyone in this congregation who helped shape the direction for our pastoral search, and especially for those who conducted the search and brought Brent to us. And we give thanks for Brent, who brings to us his dedication to his calling, his intellect and biblical scholarship, who brings his creativity in the expression of word and worship, and who has not held back his enthusiasm for cultivating the life of this church and our service to the larger community. Most of all, we give thanks for Brent's deep commitment to nurturing a living faith within himself and among all of us. This is also a day for renewal. God, we come to you as members and friends of this congregation. We come as family and friends of Brent and John. We come as an ecumenical community for many faith journeys. We come as neighbors and leaders within the broader community of Stockbridge and Western Massachusetts. We share in this affirmation and celebration of Brent's coming among us. But we do not come to you as the audience of a special performance. We come to affirm our own responsibilities in the life of this church and in the life of our community. We offer to you a renewal of our own commitment, whatever our station in life may be, with whatever abilities or gifts we have to offer. We stand with Brent to seek your guidance, to accept the challenges you lay before us, and to learn once again to lean upon your everlasting arms. We commit ourselves to risk discipleship, to accept your grace, to serve the church and our neighbors, and to remember, as our forebears taught us to sing, "All our hopes on God are founded. Who else can all our hopes renew? Still, through change and chance, you guide us to the fully good and fully true. God unknown, through grace alone, call our hearts to be your own." In all these things, we look to the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ, who came that all might have life and have it abundantly. And so we join together in the prayer that he taught us. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So the year was 1620, when John Robinson, an English minister and a spiritual father of the Pilgrims, stood before an assembly of men and women about to embark for the New World on the Mayflower. And as he gazed out over them at a moment both of great peril and of great hope, he said to them, people of God, I am verily persuaded that there is yet more light and truth to break forth from God's holy word. And today, as I gaze out over this assembly, I say the same thing to you. People of God, I am verily persuaded that there is yet more light and truth to break forth from God's holy word. God is not done with us. Far from it. Now more than ever, God needs people dedicated to breaking open that holy word in this time and place here in the Berkshires, of ensuring that God's word continues to be not just the story of our ancestors, but the story of you and me here today. Now, those people that John Robinson blessed on the Mayflower, their descendants went on to found an institution dedicated to training young men for Christian ministry. That institution was Harvard University, with due apologies to Yale. Now, as heirs to that tradition, our ministers likewise undergo a rigorous seminary training on their path to ordination. And as Brent's spouse, I can tell you that such an education does not come cheaply. Therefore, every dollar from this afternoon's offering will go to support the scholarship fund of the Berkshire Association of the United Church of Christ, which supports seminary students in need. And so, if you believe, like I do, that this world now, more than ever, needs more people like Brent Damrow and Nancy Taylor, people like Jill Graham and Tim Weissman, and all these men and women who are seated here before us, if you believe that God is not done with us here, if you believe that there is yet more light and truth to break forth from God's holy word, will you join me in giving? The offering will now be given and gratefully received.
What a lovely Powell choir, wasn't it? Thank you so much for doing that. My friends, the Berkshire Association of the Massachusetts Conference of the United Church of Christ greets you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church here on earth and in heaven. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight of sin, which clings to us so tightly, and let us continue to run with perseverance, love, and joy the race that is set before us. And the people will say,
let us look to Jesus, pioneer and perfecter of our faith.
I want to thank you all for inviting us in here today, but I'm going to turn away from you for a minute because I am talking to Brent here for this charge, so excuse me. Brent, I want to tell you that I am so excited for you. I'm so thrilled that God has led you to this place here because there's something about this place that just feels like home, isn't there? And I'm sure a bit of that is the warmth of these people. I'm sure a bit of that is the very New England-ness of this place. But I suspect that you have a lot to do with making this place feel like home in just the few months that you've been here. Brent, you have many great characteristics, but my favorite by far is your natural gift as a host. You are such a good host that I would call you a host of hosts. No matter what the venue and no matter what the occasion, you have this uncanny ability to make every single person you meet feel like they are a crucial part of your spiritual family. You make every single person you meet feel like they count, right, Nancy? Am I right, Stockbridge people? Brent's only been here a few months, and already doesn't it feel like you have grown even closer as a family? Yes. Now, when I think of you, Brent, I think of you grilling up dinner on a warm spring day in Jamaica Plain for a smattering of friends. See, because you are the kind of guy who can track down any friend and any crowd, even in the chaos of Fenway Park, just to say hey. You're the kind of guy that will go on vacation to Maine and happen to meet my parents by chance in church in the morning and somehow end up making them dinner in their own home that night and becoming great friends. Although I'm sure that John had something to do with that too. Here's what I'm getting at. Even when you are the guests, and even when you are out in public, whether you're just tossing darts with a few friends or talking theology with a lowly intern like I was when we first met at Old South, you make everyone feel right at home. You make everyone feel like a member of the household of God, like a citizen with the saints, like some great cosmically connected family. Brent, indeed, you are a host of hosts. And that, friends, is something that all ministers strive to do, but only a few have that gift to truly pull it off with authenticity, and Brent here has that gift. See, for Brent, it's not just about the numbers, and it's not about the image. It's about creating a sincere spiritual center, a cohesive community, a beloved bond. It's about being church together. So this is my charge to your dear friend. I charge you to use that gift. Now, of course, I also charge you to once a week turn it off completely and become a hermit and think of no one else but you and John. You have to charge and recharge those batteries over and over again, but every other day of the week, use that gift to its fullest potential. Because after centuries of people being disowned by their faith families, a warm welcome is what the Church Universal needs now more than anything. So I charge you to be that heavenly host for the Lord of hosts, spreading good news of great joy for all the world to hear. So, church, if you think that Brent can be one of those kinds of ministers in this place, say, praise God.
Praise God.
If you think Brent already is one of those kinds of ministers, say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you think, or if you are completely thrilled and completely psyched like I am to be part of Brent's spiritual family, say amen like you mean it.
Amen.
Amen.
Greetings, sisters and brothers in Christ. What an absolute joy it is to be with you today. What a perfectly perfect day to bind ourselves in covenant. You with your pastor and the churches of the Berkshire Association with you. I bring you greetings as well from the Reverend Dr. Jim Antle, minister and president of our Massachusetts Conference, United Church of Christ, and some 370 congregations in covenant with you as we together live into being proclaimers and ministers of Christ's love and justice, mercy and peace in our needy and hurting world. Today, saints of First Congregational Church of Stockbridge, today we celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
Today first, though, we celebrate a job well done by your pastoral search committee. Amen?
Amen.
I would invite Deb McMenemy and her committee to stand so that we might officially thank you. Thank you for your commitment to this process. Thank you for your perseverance and your stamina. And thank you for trusting me when I said to you, I do have one more profile. Thank you. Not all search committees are so willing. It's been a long road, but it has been a good road because God is good. And while you've had a four-month official introduction into what ministry alongside this gifted Reverend Brent Damrow looks like, and from what I've heard, it's been an amazing beginning of a journey, today is nonetheless a very important marker in that journey. Today, we officially bless and charge your ministry together. Today, we consider from whence you've come. We touch on those important and noteworthy historical references that began some 279 years ago. Something about that John Sargent guy and those indigenous peoples of the area. Indeed, your very existence was built on being a light of Christ's love to others. And while one of those lights has gone out, it doesn't matter because that light still burns brightly in these pews. Amen? Amen. Then, of course, there was that era of the one you fondly refer to as J.E., as in, do plan us to join us in the J.E. room. And then a few hundred years later, not to be outdone, you were blessed with Chris's dad, Reinhold Niebuhr. As historically impressive as the two of those men were and are, now, my friends, now you have BD. So while I encourage you to consider the legacy of your past, to be diligent in celebrating your present, do celebrate your present. You've been blessed with a tremendous gift of a pastor, and I know you realize this because no matter which one of you I meet in the produce aisle of Big Y, I hear it from you. And I am thrilled to hear these kinds of things in the supermarket. Together, you, the people of First Congregational Church Stockbridge, and God have arrived at a pivotal place in your ongoing journey of being the Church of Jesus Christ. Not only have you called Brent, it doesn't end there, because as much as it seems that way, today is not just about Brent. God has called both of you. God has called both, all of you, to be witnesses to God's transformative love, to be examples of the power of reconciliation, to be living testimonies of grace and new beginnings, to be pioneers once again, as you are open to what might be next in the greater scheme of ministry here in Stockbridge and beyond. The problem is that we often set our sights too low. Life is good. Let's rest, we could say. There's no time for resting on your laurels. Today, I challenge you to consider your past, to celebrate your present, but also to claim the future to which God is calling you, to claim the future to which God is calling you. I challenge you not to be mired in what another UCC pastor and author, Robin Myers, calls hyper-intellectualism. You've never heard of anything like that in Stockbridge, I would think. We in the church are factories of good ideas, he notes. We form committees. to study problems and then appoint task forces to propose possible solutions to the problems we already knew existed. Then we issue a report, and we vote on it, and we file it. Instead, my friends, we've got to stop wasting time and do something as the progressive church that we are. Because ultimately, we're not going to be judged on what we believe, but on whether we've done the work of real compassion, been people who lived love and peace and forgiveness, people for whom justice, God's love, lived out in society, was seen and not just talked about. Let's talk less and do more. Risk failure, Stockbridge. Risk failure in the name of love. Be bold. Let the Spirit lead as she is manifest in Brent and in the dreams and possibilities you hear her whisper to your hearts. So yeah, you were once the first church in the what it was to be organized, Berkshire Association. So yeah, you were the first congregational church to vote to become part of the UCC, yada, yada, yada. Yes, you've taken the just vote to be open and affirming and are boldly living that out. So what implications for being a pace setter might still emerge for you in the days ahead? There are yet more history-altering, blessing-making, life-transforming, sea-changing, sit-up-and-take-notice kind of accomplishments for the sake of Christ's gospel that have yet to develop from the congregation known as the First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ of Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Yes?
Amen.
So today I charge you to be fearless in ministry. Fearless in ministry. To trust in God's unfaltering grace, to confidently fail forward when necessary, and to claim the power of God's presence in ways you never thought possible. Be reborn to all God has in store for you and for those you are called to serve. And may God bless you. Bless you with courage and much joy for the days ahead. Amen.
The First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has called the Reverend Brent Damro as its pastor and teacher, and respectfully requests that the Berkshire Association install him in this ministry among us, according to the faith and order of the United Church of Christ.
The Berkshire Association has reviewed the request of the First Congregational Church of Stockbridge, United Church of Christ, and we are pleased to install the Reverend Brent Damro as your pastor and teacher. Reverend Damro, please come forward. Servant of God, we invite you to come forward as a sign of your acceptance of the call to this office. Installation is the action of an association of the United Church of Christ in cooperation with a local church. installation confirms and celebrates the covenantal relationship among a local church, its pastor and teacher, and the United Church of Christ. Installation is a sign that these covenantal partners are committed to share mutually in the mission of the United Church of Christ and of its ecumenical church.
Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. We beg you, our brothers and sisters, to pay proper respect to those who work among you, who guide and instruct you in the Christian life. Treat them with the greatest respect and love because of the work they do, and be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, my brother, warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with all. Church, see that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but at all times make it your aim to do good to one another and to all people. Be joyful always. Pray at all times. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants for you in your life in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We come now to the act of installation. This reminds me very much of wedding ceremonies that I have had a hand in. I always remind the couple that I'm not marrying them, they are marrying each other. It is by the words that you share, the vows of promise that you make, that you install one another as pastor and people together. And so members of the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge, will those of you who are able rise and affirm your covenant with your pastor and teacher? Please begin. Members of the Berkshire Association, will those of you who are able rise and affirm your covenant with the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge and its pastor and teacher?
We, the members of the Berkshire Association of the United Church of Christ, gather with you, the people and the pastor and teacher of the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge, as a sign of our mutual ministry in Christ's name. Now will you please join with me in a moment of prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, you have called your servants to make promises before you. Now enable us to keep our vows, that we may remain steadfast in faith and fruitful in every good work. Bless, we pray, your servant Brent Damrow, in whom the care of your people in this church is now committed. Pour out your Holy Spirit on him and on the people of First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge and on all the churches of the Berkshire Association, that our mutual ministry may be served with all faithfulness, diligence, and courage. Grant us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Make our ministry a means of awakening the careless, strengthening the faithful, comforting the afflicted, building up your church, and converting all to you. Guard us against the snares of temptation, that we may be kept pure in heart, fervent in spirit, and valiant against evil, And at the last, by your grace, receive us in your eternal home, where with you and the Holy Spirit, Christ reigns in glory, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Reverend Dan Rao,
Pastor Brent,
in the name of our Lord, on behalf
of Berkshire
Association of the Massachusetts Conference of the United Church of Christ, I declare that you are duly installed as pastor and teacher of the First Congregational Church, UCC, of Stockbridge.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Friends, before we close our worship, you have made great promises to me. Churches have made great promises to this church, and here is what I promise you. I promise you that I am willing, and I promise to serve this church faithfully, preaching and teaching the Word of God, administering the sacraments, and fulfilling the pastoral office according to the faith and to the order of the United Church of Christ. I promise you my heart, I promise you my faults, and I promise you everything I've got, that together this will be a place and a home of God. Amen. So friends, our time of worship here within these walls is drawing to a close, that our worship of our great and amazing God may begin anew beyond these walls. And as we face the new journey that lies before us, I can think of no better words than words that have served the church for thousands of years, and those are these. Friends, as you go forth, love one another. Hold fast to what is good. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be overcome by evil, but instead, with your goodness, overcome that evil. And may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds as one on this day, and on every single day of your lives. And let the church say, Amen.